Funpod.
Der sonnige Podcast.
Willkommen zur 181. Ausgabe von Funpod, sagt Michael. Letzte Woche habe ich in Faro an der größten europäischen Solarkocherkonferenz mit weltweiter Beteiligung seit Granada 2006 teilgenommen und dort die Gelegenheit gefunden, insgesamt 7 Interviews für Funpod aufzunehmen, die wir in den kommenden Wochen veröffentlichen werden. Als erstes lernen wir Janak McGilligan aus Indore in der Mitte Indiens kennen, die gemeinsam mit ihrem vor ein paar Jahren verstorbenen Mann Jimmy McGilligan 1985 das Bali Development Institute for Rural Women gegründet und dann bis 2011 geleitet hat. Dort wurden und werden weiterhin in halb- und ganzjährigen Programmen tausende Mädchen und junge Frauen aus dem ländlichen Raum ausgebildet und mit Grundkenntnissen in Hauswirtschaft und Gartenbau, Lesen und Schreiben sowie Gesundheits- und Umweltthemen ausgestattet. Seit 2013 leitet sie nun das Jimmy McGilligan Center for Sustainable Development, wo sie einen Ausbildungsschwerpunkt im Zusammenhang von biologischem Gärtnern und dem Einsatz von Solarkochern und Trocknern setzt. In den folgenden 40 Minuten erzählt sie uns ihre Geschichte und wir werden darin einige Namen hören, die wir schon aus früheren Sunpod-Interviews kennen, wie Deepak Gadia, Dieter Seifert, Rolf Behringer und Wolfgang Schäffler. Und wenn sie öfters von Heike spricht, ist damit Heike Höth vom Verein Solare Brücke gemeint. Ich bin sicher, dass, wenn ihr diese Geschichte gehört habt, ihr ebenso tiefen Respekt für das Lebenswerk dieser Frau empfindet wie ich.
I am Janak Palta McGilligan from Central India and I am wife of James. He used to call himself Jimmy McGilligan from UK, but he also lived in India and we have been both very passionately involved in the environmental issues and sustainability, but with special focus to empowering people by training them to use the solar cookers and assemble them and have various applications of the technology.
Mm-hmm.
For example, cooking and baking and frying and using solar cookers in textile work. For example, when the girls, I'm sure you know that Jimmy and I were working at Bali Development Institute for Rural Women, which has been running since 1985 when I came and started it on behalf of a Baha'i community of India. In Indore, it's in central India, and at that institute we used to give training to tribal and rural girls who had never gone to school, or maybe 10-15% of them were dropped out of school, so they had not much education. Our program was very integrated in terms of literacy and health and community service and personal development and how they could go back to their communities with some vocational skills, which included the working on the land and farming, organic farming and solar cooking and rainwater harvesting, and then some vocations like embroidery and cutting and tailoring and batik printing, textiles, block printing and screen printing. But we realized that they are cutting all the woods are gone, the forest, because all the tribal communities were basically their main resource of livelihood, always used to be forest. But now there were no forest when we started working, and there were many issues arising out of it. And also there was and still there is a huge scarcity of electricity. So we went into to finding solutions to the problems relating to tree plantation, but at the same time solar cooking. And we came into contact We were contacted by Professor R.L. Sahni from Indore University, Devi Ahilya University. He is an energy scientist. And he was asked by the Ministry of Non-Conventional Energy to install and test 8 Schaeffler dishes mm-hmm. in different parts of the country mm-hmm. and see the results. Mm-hmm. So that was the first ever direct contact with solar cooking at a bigger scale, though we have been working with ordinary box cookers in Indore, and that was also at a very superficial scale, bringing a box cooker and showing women how a box cooker works. But now in 98, when Professor Sahni wanted to test a dish, she introduced us to Deepak Garia, Shirin Garia, and then Wolfgang Schaeffler, and sometime later we also came into contact with Heike. So the first dish was brought from Valsad, from Deepak Garia, and it was installed by Jimmy. And because this is a residential program at the institute, and we needed to feed the girls 3 times a day, and it started working very nicely, and they asked Jimmy to collect all the data. So Jimmy collected all the data very religiously, comparing how breakfast item number 1, for example, is cooked, poha, how much kilos of gas, LPG is used, how much wood is used, or in how much time the same thing is cooked on the solar dish. He also designed the proper solar kitchen, and it was a huge startup in central India, first solar kitchen. And then soon after that, when everybody got to meet Jimmy, Deepak and Professor Sahni and Wolfgang, there was an international conference in Indore, and they all came to see this kitchen and very excited, and all of them decided to bring the storage cooker and test it, which Wolfgang and I think Deepak had both built it together. So that was also brought, and then when these girls were living there and eating food and seeing it's being cooked with solar energy, they started asking, how can we have these cookers back home? How can we take them with us? And then we got also interested in how we do this, and we were just looking for how to do this when Deepak and Shireen came with the project from Austria, Plage. Angelika and Peter, and I think Dieter Hans, these were the people who were involved in it, and they wanted to give us 50 SK-14 cookers. And they just said, okay, give it to the poor girls. I was very adamant on one issue. I said, no, we will not give it to them. We will only give it to those girls who will be willing to take training in cooking, assembling the cookers and maintaining them, repairing them, and will pay 10% of the cost that the cost of the cooker. Mm-hmm. So it worked. The first issue was there were no cookers. So Jimmy was given this design by Deepak Garia, and Jimmy fabricated these cookers, 50 cookers, and they were 2002. They were taken by the girls to their villages. That was the first time the cookers were taken by the girls, and they started cooking in front of people from the ministry, government, and local people. So it became like a initiative at the grassroots. Then there is a demand, more demand, and everybody wants a cooker. In the meanwhile, we got 100 cookers, again given by Plage, then more. So then it went, this project got extended to about 400 plus cookers given by Plage from Austria. After this, we had, in the meanwhile, Jimmy and I have been training people to go and train more trainers to work in the areas and bring the result and feedback. And it was very exciting when the girls said, how can we include this as a vocation and we can use in the livelihood? And the microcredit group from other NGOs started coming, and they started taking training, and they started making things like, you know, snacks and dry snacks and unperishable things. I mean, you could keep them for a few weeks and fried and web solar process, and they were very easy. These girls were normally going for working as a laborer on a building or a farm, and first of all they were not getting enough work for the whole year. Secondly, they had to leave their homes. Thirdly, they had to walk many kilometers to go to the work. In this process, the cookers were very useful when we got the research done, that these women were making things for 1 week, and in their weekly market, they will bring all the product and sell it. And they told us that it was much more comfortable when they finish their own domestic cooking. They are using it for their livelihood, and they don't have to go out for work. And I came from a background of a university research fellow, and a research. I was also working in a research center in social sector and rural development. So I was very passionate about knowing what exactly is the impact of these cookers. So to our surprise, we formulated some questions, as everybody does, hypothetically, this health and environment and cost and not collecting wood. But livelihood was very much highlighted. But one woman said, we feel very safe because maximum numbers of rapes take place when they have to go out to collect wood.
Mm-hmm.
This cooker is a source of their saving their dignity.
Yes.
We had no idea that this could be, it is impact. So there is a social impact, there is an economic impact, there is a emotional thing. Physically, women don't have to go out. And we also discovered that many women had miscarriages because they were carrying a big load of wood on their head during advanced stage of pregnancy. And they were also telling us that the children tend to put their hand in the open fire when they're cooking, and the burn cases are very common. But with this cooker, the children have no risk. And they don't have to have a matchbox, matchstick, or a kerosene or paper to start the fire. And they don't have... Then they said their utensils are clean. They don't have to work so hard on because of the smoke. So I remember Jimmy in those days said, cooking in smoky kitchens is a violence against women. So it was when at the same time I have been always a part of the gender equality movement with United Nations and working towards Millennium Development Goals. So health and gender equality and water and all these issues. I wrote my paper on how Millennium Development Goals can be accomplished by women having using solar cookers. Mm-hmm. So it's physical. Then they also gender equality thing. These women told us that before we had this cooker, cooking has always been only women's, chores. It is there, they have to cook. Since this cooker is very smart, like the modern time, these when microwaves came, the boys will also microwave something. Normally, they will not go into the kitchen. So the women said, wow, now the men have started cooking in our homes, and anybody comes, they stand and they start cooking rice and they show off. And so the women said it's a very gender-friendly cooker, and it was very exciting, very fulfilling experience to work with that. And in the meanwhile, we had one solar kitchen, but then many other institutions in the neighboring area asked Jimmy if he could make their kitchens in the schools. So though he went, and he did not take any money, but he went and he spent time with them to make their kitchens, offer 900 children, 450 children, 300 children in the hostels in tribal area. Now, there has been a lot of learning when we went back and studied. One thing we learned was that our cookers, when we started giving the cookers in 2002, and the latest survey feedback we had in 2010 was cookers are working great, and the trainers that we had trained, local girls, that was very important. So having local people to be trained in local language, we had also developed the training manuals and recipe books in their dialect, written in Hindi. And the training was also conducted by their own people. So when there is a complete, when the demand comes from grassroots and the local people are involved in training, it's very helpful. Unless there is a passion and there is a commitment, only donation or projects don't sustain the solar cooking. Mm-hmm. Those schools, two of them were funded by, one was by Germans. The volunteers were there, but the local people were not really involved. They came and they wanted Jimmy to make it, and Jimmy made it. After the volunteers went, local people did not take any interest. They had some politics, they had some fighting. They just took the pieces of mirrors away. Mm-hmm. Means it was a disaster, one of those kitchens. Yeah. And another kitchen where it was dependent on the nuns, who were also German, very committed. But when the transfer took place, they had not trained somebody else to take over.
Yeah.
And lack of training again stopped working of that kitchen. But the kitchen in Berlin Institute from 1998 is still working after Jimmy and I retired in 2011. Even now it's working. Mainly because we had people at different level trained, succession plan and training of people to take over. Mm-hmm. And there was a constant. I remember one young researcher from, I think, Switzerland, Alex. He's a teacher, but he was very interested in this project and Heike, and then he went to study what are the factors of success. So he wrote his research and he highlighted that this place worked because of Jimmy factor. Because he was very passionate, he was innovating, he was maintaining, he was checking, he was... And I was supporting him in training. My strength was training and research. his and various applications. For example, when the girl started doing ironing with that cooker, mm-hmm. it was using it in textile. Then when we found that we learned a lot from these women also. These young girls, they are 15, mainly 15 to 20, 25. They told us they are able to prepare all the cattle food feed mm-hmm. on the solar cookers. We had no idea. We were only thinking about boiling water, having safe drinking water, making rehydration drink for children, you know, all those things. But it was very interesting. And then everybody is boiling tea, making tea, boiling milk, and making various things which we didn't even know. Mm-hmm. Then later on, by this time, Heike was invited to train some of the people to make 2.7 Schaeffler dishes. She was very kind and she spent maybe more than 1 month. Jimmy and I had this idea to train local engineers, local people. We tried to do that. Some of the boys started working in it. So that was a big boost, and then we learned to make solar dryers. Jimmy went, and there is one Father Matthew, a great follower of Heike and Wolfgang, and in Patna, Bihar. So Jimmy just went and saw tunnel dryers, and he came back and he made tunnel dryers. And then whatever surplus food we had, we were drying it and making lemon drinks and juices and jams and chutneys and doing so many things relating to food. And we found that it can improve the economy of the farmers if they do the solar cooking and solar food processing. Now, while we were doing it and it was going on and we were retiring, and just unfortunately, Jimmy and I met. Actually, Jimmy and I were going to see Shireen. Deepak phoned me that Shireen is very... In this process of solar cooking movement, we became a solar family. Mm-hmm. The sustainability has been mainly contributed to the sustaining of relationships. From Indore to tribal women, to Valsad, Deepak and Shireen, with Heike and Wolfgang, with Dieter Siefert, with Astria, with so many people all over the world. Then people who funded, who contributed. So I personally feel that it was a huge success, and Deepak and Jimmy started calling each other as brothers, solar brothers. And Deepak started addressing me as Bhabhi, means brother's wife. And he called me one day that Shireen was a very advanced stage of cancer. He said, if you want to come and see her, come now. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's waiting to meet you. Jimmy and I were building our house in the village, a retirement house. And he just dropped all the work and tools and came home. And next morning we took a car. We were going to see Shireen. We met with an accident. And Jimmy could never recover from that accident. And he died after 17 days. And after that, the house that he had built was designed to... he had already built a solar and wind power station. And we already had a 2.7 cooker. SK-14 was already there. We had our own box cooker. So somebody had gifted me a hot pot. So one girl trained by us, who was a master trainer, she and her family also decided to live with us before our accident. So, but she is very smart, Nanda. So, and Rajendra is very smart in technical things. Both of them are trained by Heike. So, the solar and wind power station is already working. House is almost complete. And then we moved there after Jimmy's passing away. And this is June 10, 2011. Now we are sitting on a rock, on a little hilltop, and we are working there. And we, Professor Sani brought 69 saplings and planted trees and involved the local youths and came to support us. And then Nanda and Rajinder put together this solar kitchen. And I started doing Jimmy Memorial programs every year for a week or 10 days. And continuously, I opened this house for people to come. And because it was planned that we will live in a village and we will show people by being there that it's possible to have to grow our own vegetables and things, and then everything done by solar cookers, cooking and everything. So there was 1 acre of land. Some of our friends had said, you use it. They had bought this piece of land because we could not buy the little piece for the house. It's a farmland, so we had to, three of us, put together money. And they said, you do whatever you want to do. So we, all of us, decided to do the farming. So we started organic farming on 1 acre of land. Now Nanda, Rajinder, and they have 2 children. Me, 5. And we have, then we started raising a little baby cow. So we have a cow and it has 2 calves. And now 8 of us are fully sustained on 1 acre of land in terms of growing grains and lentils and vegetables and spices and whatever little things we need, garlic and onion and daily needs. We are able to survive very nicely now because it's 5th year, things are taking a good shape, and we do all the solar cooking. And when I was invited to Sacramento, I brought 2 more cookers. Somebody else also gave 1 cooker. Celestino gave me 1 funnel cooker. Then Srishta gave me, Srish Chadda gave me Celestino cooker. So I have 11 different models of solar cookers to demonstrate. That I demonstrate to local youths, farmers, women, and school children, school boys and girls. And then they take a tour of the place, and it's a very interesting place now, evolved. And very frequently, because of my old standing for more than 3 decades in that area, and people know, administration knows, government knows, and I just dedicated this house as Jimmy McGilligan Center for Sustainable Development, without soliciting any funds or donations. It, whatever we had, we just put together, and it's Jimmy McGilligan Center for Sustainable Development. In last, this April 2016, we will complete 5 years of our presence there. And either I am invited to make a PowerPoint presentation or a talk on radio or TV or something. In Indore, schools, colleges, IIM, IIT, and also now this year I was given, Jimmy was given Order of British Empire by the Queen of England for his services in India, social cause, and promoting alternative sources of energy. Somebody had visited from British Deputy High Commission and they were very impressed, and so that gave a big respect and recognition. And similarly, last year I was given the Padma Shri, is the 3rd highest civilian award after Bharat Ratna. So that also, now people, and my presence is now known for women and solar cooking. And this is, so in the last almost 5 years, I have been able to work and train and make 25,000 young and farmers and people aware about this solar cooking, food processing. I I have learned from all this experience that farmers in India are committing suicide. Whenever I came to Northern Ireland, Germany, Sweden, Austria, I found that different seasons, apples are on the ground, nobody is picking them up. Plums are on the ground, nobody picking up. Now I come to Germany and see tangerines are sitting and getting wasted. It's very hurting that it's such a hard work. And then it's... So I, because I have learned for all these years, and now we have developed various methods and various experiences and experiments of making natural colors on solar cooker, making cleaning things for, you know, cleaning fennel, what you call it? Cleaning anti-flies or anti-mosquitoes, and also for keeping the insects and pests and fungus from the garden and cow. And then women are making snacks for livelihood. One woman, for example, is running a solar tea stall. And now, recently, I trained one woman in... I encouraged them to grow lemons. They have very small piece of land. And domestic, just on their own land. And they have grown lemons. And then I trained her how to make lemon juice, syrup, to make lemon juice with organic sugar. And now she can sell her one bottle of lemon drink that you can make maybe, I think, at least 30 to 40 drinks out of it for 400 rupees. So I think 10 rupees a lemon drink is not expensive when mineral water is also 10 to 15 rupees a bottle in India. And people, when they know it's organic and lemon, it's very much welcomed in India. So I also have tried doing solar drying. We made solar dryers and integrated the cooking, baking, frying, and using it for cows and field and our own household needs. I only use one bottle of gas in 1 year. And from market, I only buy salt, sugar, tea leaves, and cooking oil. In 1 acre of land, 8 of us are fully sustained. For example, if we grow our chickpeas, we make a chickpea lentil, and then we make flour, and then with that flour, we make all kind of snacks. So we have wheat, we make wheat porridge, and then wheat flour, and then we do all the baking, making Irish tea scones and soda scones and breads and cakes and pizzas. I teach. So we have lot of exciting things. And one more thing has evolved out of this experience. Chimmy Memorial Programs are involving other people, lot of other people. Deepak will come, Ghanshyam Lokhi will come, Ajay Chandak will come, and they will give lectures in the university and colleges and schools. And then people come. And last time Professor Sani came, we had a meeting about how we can have a sustainable food in Indore. So we formed a sustainable food network. Out of that, we found, again from the grassroots, collecting some of the local farmers, organic farmers, to come together to sell their products. And one of our friend offered his land, and his he's a very rich man, has company, and he said his staff will help every Sunday and Wednesday. And we developed a grocery store there. So it has become there is a food zone where you can buy organic homemade cake, organic goodies, and like I saw here, chestnuts in the in Portugal. The woman is doing chestnut and charcoal. So we are now integrated We have integrated organic food, growing, processing, use of solar cookers, use of dryers, and sustaining relations with different people. There are manufacturers, there are users, there are academic institutions, there are researchers who are coming to learn and writing a paper or making a project, the school children. Most of the time, students say that they have not seen any of these things before. So I personally feel that like making chutneys and jams and juices, and I grow my own peanuts and make peanut butter. If I have to go out and buy a bottle of small, I think 500 grams of peanut butter, it will cost 200 rupees. Mm-hmm. But when I make my own, it's hardly 40 rupees. And I know it is 100% organic and pure and no chemicals, no preservatives. So it's healthy for the environment, for us, and we get so much of solar energy in India. So I think this is the future of the world.
Yes, of course. Fine. Have you any information how you influence the rest of India with your efforts?
Yeah, I have, because in Indore, many people have started using box cookers, and some other institutions are approaching. I'm connecting them to Ajay Chandak or Deepak Gadia. Somebody in Delhi calls me that they are making a factory, they have a canteen, they want to make a canteen. So people are contacting, and some people are taking the cookers home and making it. And those and now I get invitation. Last month I also use all the opportunities. For example, Solar Punch group came. Mm-hmm. I organized their solar punch performances. And now this is first time we went together to Lucknow in a school which has 58,000 students of 20 branches. They had an international Olympiad where there were students and teachers from Bangladesh, Bhutan, Greece and Canada and some other countries. And there were people from United Nations. So when there are people from different walks, and Solar Punch is saying it, I'm making a PowerPoint presentation. So more people are becoming aware. And I personally think that on the one hand, I am preparing farmers to me and other group, motivating the farmers to stay on with organic farming. And on the other hand, I am preparing people who will prefer to eat organic food, these children. So when they become sensitive towards these issues. So I think that there is an influence on the both sides, and I see the results. And I also have a connection now because of my work with the government. I spoke to the parliament speaker recently, and I sent my written inputs to the government. And even in district level, I'm invited to give a talk or sensitize the people. So there are no shortcuts, unfortunately. Solar cooking process is not like a instant food. I think it requires a lot of commitment. Mm-hmm. And people need to, especially I'm living in India, and Indian people believe a lot in seeing and believing. And there is still a lot of mindset, and the government policies are also more for rich people and high projects of solar, mega projects. Still there is not any talk about solar cookers and all this. But I think as we are getting together groups of people, like conferences and things, and we send our recommendations, I'm sure that it's slow, but I think once it will catch up like fire, like You know, mobile phones at one stage were very rare.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's everybody has one. I personally felt that this particular year in India was a challenge for people to experience climate change. There was, when it was supposed to be rain, it was not raining, when it was hot, and people have, we have to do something about it. So I think it's unfortunate that people have to go through natural disasters and understand it,
mm-hmm.
or some huge activity or a movement, a campaign has to be done. And I'm hoping that this solar conference and Solar Cooking International will have a special entry in India, and we will have a special campaign like Deepak Gadia's coming on National Geographic TV.
Mm-hmm.
Is a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now everybody knows Deepak Gadia because of being on the national TV. And I think that there is, for this world, there is no other way except following this path of solar cooking and mm-hmm. solar drying. And
would you say you are optimistic about it?
Very optimistic.
Yes. Fine. Thank you a lot.
Welcome.
Sunpod.
Der sonnige Podcast.
Positive Impulse für eine lebenswerte Welt, wie wir sie uns wünschen. Um neue Ideen bekannt zu machen, brauchen wir eure Hilfe durch Rückmeldungen und Unterstützung aus der Hörerschaft. Kommentare sind willkommen, entweder über den Blog www.sunpod.de oder per E-Mail. Die Kontaktdaten findet ihr im Bereich Die Autoren. Finanziell könnt ihr unser Ideenradio via Flatter, PayPal oder Überweisung fördern. Details hierzu findet ihr auf der Homepage www.sunpod.de im Bereich über Sunpod. Vielen Dank für eure Mithilfe.